Good morning. Our text for today is taken from John chapter 1, verses 35 through 49. The next day, John the Baptist was there again with two of his followers. When he saw Jesus walking by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." The two followers heard John say this, so they followed Jesus. And when Jesus turned and saw them following him, he asked, "What are you looking for?" They said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" He answered, "Come and see." So the two men went with Jesus and saw where he was staying and stayed with him there that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two men who followed Jesus after they heard John speak about him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and say to him, "We have found the Messiah." Then Andrew took Simon to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of Jonah. You will be called Cephas." And Cephas means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Philip was from the town of Bethsaida, where Andrew and Peter lived. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the man that Moses wrote about in the law, and the prophets also wrote about him. He is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." But Nathanael said to Philip, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Philip answered, "Come and see." As Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said, "Here is truly an Israelite. There is nothing false in him." Nathanael asked, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you when you were under the fig tree, before Philip told you about me." Then Nathanael said to Jesus, "Teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." So far the text. When I was looking at this text, I see that it talks a lot about the what of being a disciple, but also the why of being a disciple. Because when you think about these guys, many of them fishermen, just to drop everything, an entire lifestyle, and to follow Jesus, there has to be a reason why they're doing it. Sometimes people do strange things, and you say, why are they doing that? There has to be a reason. I was thinking about an episode of Seinfeld where George is going to buy a used car, and he comes back to Jerry's apartment, and Jerry said, "Did you get the Volvo?" And he said, "No, I went with the 89 LeBaron," which is a far inferior car. And Jerry's like, "Well, what? Why would you get the 89 LeBaron?" And he said, "Well, I wanted to go that way. And after all, the previous owner was John Voight, the actor." And Jerry's like, "You bought a car because John Voight owned the car?" And anyway, George is just loves this car and loves the idea that he's driving John Voight's car until, you know, Jerry drives in the car with him, goes through the glove compartment, finds the owner manual, and finds out it's John Voight, but it's John is spelled with an H. Turns out later that he is actually a dentist. So, you know, the laugh's on George. But what a strange reason to do something. To buy a car because John Voight owned it. And I've run into that. I've gone to movies with friends, and we go way out of the way. And I'm like, why in the world are we going this far to see this movie? And it turns out he loved the hot dogs at the movie theater. Or I go to this diner and we're eating this food, and it is horrible food. And I'm like, why did you choose this diner? Turns out he wanted to date the waitress. Okay, see, there's always a reason for doing something odd and bizarre. Let's look at discipleship. First of all, the what of discipleship. We'll just go verse by verse here. And in verses 38 and 39, these disciples-to-be show up and talk to Jesus. And Jesus says, "What do you seek? What are you looking for?" And they basically say, "Well, we're just looking for your address." And Jesus says, "Come and see." In other words, you're seeking for something. If you follow me, you will find it. That's the beginning of discipleship. Verse 40 and 41, they actually spend some time with Jesus. And what do? They say, "This is the Messiah." In other words, we know what we were looking for, and this is the guy. That's the beginning of discipleship. And then what follows from discipleship, we can see in the next few verses. Now, verse 42, Jesus literally not only chooses Peter, or I should say Simon at that time, but he gives him an identity. He literally gives him a new name. So discipleship means seeing Jesus has the authority to set and name your identity. In verse 43 there, it says he has authority to follow him. He says to Philip, "Follow me," and Philip does. And finally, he has the authority to know us. At the end, you can see how Nathanael is, you know, not too thrilled with Jesus being from Nazareth, but he realizes that Jesus knows everything about him, and therefore, Nathanael at the end can finally say something even greater than anyone said up to that point. Teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. So in other words, you're not just the Messiah, but you're God's Son. I don't think he understood the full magnitude of what he said. And yet, this is what discipleship truly is. It's you are chosen. You don't choose, you are chosen. And being chosen, you follow Jesus. And following him, he changes your identity. He calls you to follow him. And he gives you the faith to see exactly who he is. Yet that still leads to the question of why. Why would these people of various backgrounds, why would they have done this? Why would they have followed Jesus? And I really think there's a simple example, a reason for this. You don't quite see it in verse 36. Okay? Because he says to his disciples, when he saw Jesus walking by, John the Baptist said, look, the Lamb of God. But those guys were around when he spoke those words, almost the same words a little earlier. I think it's verse 32, where he says, no, it's not verse 32, it is verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and John said, look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. In other words, you look at that passage there and you can very clearly see that the means, the reason for discipleship is first and foremost the expressed need for a Savior to forgive your sin. It is the foundational reason why these men follow Jesus. In other words, following Jesus doesn't mean we're heroic in any way. We are not heroes gathering around a king to defend him and to do his duty. That's not what we are. We're not heroes. In other words, we are sheep who follow a shepherd. Why? Because we get lost. Because we sin. Because we need help. Because we need protection. We don't. This idea of discipleship being that, well, I've chosen to follow Jesus, and the better disciple I am means the stronger I am. The stronger my life is, the stronger my faith is, the stronger everything is. No, that's not what discipleship is. Discipleship is realizing how dependent you are on the shepherd. It's not about how strong we are. We are weak. He is strong. We are hungry. He is the bread of life. We are thirsty. He is the living water. And that's the discipleship that Jesus has called us to. I give thanks that we are disciples in the same way. I mean, but the way it happened 2,000 years ago is the way it still happens today. There's no change. And it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible really tells us about this. Jesus said, it is not the healthy people who need a doctor, but the sick. I did not come to invite good people, to invite sinners. And I thank God he's invited us because we are sinners and because we are sick and need a physician and we are lost and need a good shepherd and we have one. I pray that you're safe, that you stay warm, and I'll see you next week. Amen.